If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
John Hancock, Amy Mark Scores with you on this New Year's Eve. Well, it is time for our midweek, midday, midlife, discussing all the topics that, I don't know, if you're 35, 40, 45, you might be dealing with. And joining us now is Paula Almgren. She is the author of Elder Care, The Rules, Navigating the Legal, Financial, Medical, Housing, and Care Maze. She is an attorney specializing in estate planning, elder law, and life care. And she joins us now. Paula, it's so nice to talk to you this morning.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You know, it's funny that I'm having this conversation. I am so I'm 42, and my parents are cooler and more capable than I am. So I always joke that my retirement plan is moving back in with my parents so they can just take care of me again because they're doing great. I'm struggling. They're doing great. But we see... We laugh because we see these commercials, right? Like, obviously, taking care of your parents, especially as people live longer and longer, it has become an issue for so many Americans. And a lot of times, Americans who are also taking care of their own kids at the same time. And it can really be a lot to juggle. I just kind of an overview right now. In your experience, I mean, how many Americans seem to be dealing with this issue right now of taking care of mom and dad?
Well, in the intro, you said 35, 40, 45, but it's a huge amount of people.
Yeah.
It's 1 in 5 people in the U.S. are taking care of an aging family member right now. Mm. AARP. AARP is always the greatest source of all this information because they have all the data. So it's very common. And the ages, you know, it can be, I mean, I have 70-year-old kids taking care of their 90-something-year-old parents. So it's a huge range.
Do you know, Paul, I'm so glad you brought that up. It was a group, actually from my Bible study. They have this, when it was really, really cold here in St. Louis last year, single digit temperatures, there was an older man across the street who's in his 90s, but his son is like 75. And the 75-year-old was taking care of the 90-year-old. And I'm thinking, well, wait, who's taking care of the 75-year-old? So there might be people who are taking care of two generations.
Yes, it's not just parents with young children and then children taking care of parents, right? It's a variety of ages because people do live longer and most people at some point do need care, you know? So planning for the care is everything. Like putting a plan in place, thinking about, and you know, when I didn't even realize this till I wrote the book, but care isn't just about the care piece. It's, you know, the legal, financial, medical, housing, and care. So like get your estate planning documents in order. You know, if you all of a sudden can't pay your bills and you need help financially, or you just need help financially, maybe you can still pay your bills, who's going to be your power of attorney? Who is going to be able to have the power to take care of all of your financial things? It can be more than one person. Sometimes people name, you know, their spouse and their son, you know, Joe, whoever. Either one may act alone. So you've got to put that in place because if all of a sudden you can't make your own financial decisions, then you have to go to a court to decide. So we don't want that. We want it to be your decision, and we want you to pick your correct people. And then if your son Joseph isn't available, then your daughter Alice can come in. So, you know, you need to line up your people. And same with the healthcare, you know, so financial, power of attorney, wills, trust. Medical is your healthcare proxy, your HIPAA letter. Most states, you can only have one healthcare agent serving at a time because they don't want one person to say, do the surgery, and the other kid to say, hey, don't touch them, you know. So name your people, line them up, and make sure you put their cell numbers.
Yeah,
because
that's
how else are we going to reach them?
Yeah, that's a real thing because when mom or dad is in a trauma and there are two or three or four kids, You know, then it becomes decision by committee. You know, with, what are you doing with the feeding tube? So that's very prudent advice to to get that all taken care of. And in terms of your, one's assets, you need to really think about not ending up in probate court with a lot of assets, because that could be a
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Real pain.
Right. Probate court is if you die and you own an asset just in your name, you have to go to probate court, or your executor does, after you die, to get control of the assets to then distribute them. But if you have a trust and you put those same assets in a trust and you're the trustee and it works under your Social Security number, now you become incapacitated, not just die. Because you're incapacitated, your trustee can handle all your decisions. You're dead, your trustee can distribute your assets, but it's not involving the probate court. Simple, yeah. Private, your business stays your business. Nobody knows who your kids are, how much money you have, that you're leaving some money for your pets, that maybe you're leaving some money for your church, your synagogue, or other charities. Like, it can all stay private within the family.
So then if, you know, some an aging parent wanting to make sure that they're planning ahead, and it could be, you know, a group effort, I guess, with kids as well, making sure your parent has all of these things in order. Yes, I mean, I wouldn't even be able to think about all of this. But, you know, if you have multiple kids, so you're saying pick one child who's going to make the most of those decisions?
Well, it depends. So having the conversation, which is where you were starting, like, let's all talk about it. What do you want, mom and dad, right? So having a conversation with the family, I think, is really helpful, because the kids have all these fears, right? They're like, what if you fall? What if you this? What if that happens? What if you go, you know? So you look at your home. Most people want to stay home to begin with, but people have to also be open-minded and willing to say, you know what? I might need to move to assisted living someday, right? Where you get your own apartment, it's a lockable door, you know, but, you know, someone does your laundry and can help with your meds and things like that. Sometimes I feel people dig in at home a little too long, and then they're putting themselves at, like, you know, risk. But how do you, if you want to stay home, well, let's make the home a place where you can stay. Like, no more dragging the garbage cans down the driveway. Okay. Like, you need to get the, you pay the extra $10 a week or whatever it is, and they'll just come to the garage and pick up, you know, the garbage cans. And some people don't have their mailboxes on their houses. So get the mailbox on the house. Don't put the washer and dryer. Don't go downstairs or upstairs. You know, like, so there's all these, get rid of the throw rugs. These are like such basic things, but these are the things that hurt people all the time. So, you know, like, I would look at the house and you would say, okay, how do we make this house like senior friendly so that like it's possible? I mean, anybody can fall at any time. You could fall right next to me. I can't stop you from falling, right? So, but like, where do you want to live? And then how do we make the house like as safe as possible? Do we put in cameras? Are there apps? You know, there's all sorts of technology too that really helps people. And then would you be open to assisted living? Where, what kind of place would you like? You know, what happens if you ever really did need skilled care? Do you have long-term care insurance? Can you get it? Can you still get it? You know, you can get long-term care insurance until age, you know, 85, and some, you know, it depends. So, like, are there other things that we can do to help, you know, with the care expenses? You know, and where do you get the care?
Yeah. And you talk about the home and making sure that it's appropriate as someone does age. AARP, reports that 75% of older Americans want to age in place.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm guessing that's number has gone up in previous years. Maybe, I'm not sure. I imagine COVID was kind of traumatic for a lot of people, especially those mm-hmm. in assisted living. So aging in place, aside from what you just said, like making sure the home is outfitted, is appropriate, what else would you need to do to make sure your mom or dad can age in place?
So, you know, can you get to the bathroom, right? Like, so sometimes people have a fall and then they need to go to a skilled nursing rehab or a rehab center because they can't access their bathroom, right? So that's another thing. So, you know, an occupational therapist, they'll come into the home and they'll evaluate your home and they'll make a bunch of recommendations. Like, this is what I recommend you do to try to make this an age-in-place, you know, kind of home. So I like that because I think it's just objective information for families to go from there. And then how are you going to pay for the care? Like, so that's important. And that needs to be a discussion because, you know, people really don't want their kids to be their hands-on caregivers. They want their kids to be their care advocates, like their fighter, you know, like, don't touch my mother. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. So how are we going to pay for care? So we do this like asset, income, fixed costs, and then different care levels spreadsheet. Because when people can look at their numbers on a piece of paper and it's not emotional, I think it really helps them kind of plan ahead. And so, like, if I have a wartime veteran or a widow of a wartime veteran, you know, there's money if they have a shortfall of care costs, you know. So the veteran has to have served one day active duty during an official declaration of war. There's a certain asset level. They have to need care, and they also have to have a shortfall of care costs. So let's say they're paying $4,000 a month for care at home, and the income, and it's a veteran with a spouse, and the income is $3,000 combined, they have a $1,000 shortfall. So they could apply for the veteran pension with aid in attendance, and it ends up being $2,874 a month tax-free from the VA towards their shortfall of care costs. And that's like $34,000 a year. So that's a big chunk of money that a lot of veterans aren't even aware that is available to them or their spouses. My veterans love when they know, oh my gosh, this benefit's available to my spouse. And, you know, the spouse can get $18,697 a year towards her shortfall of care costs.
Paula Almgren is our guest. She's the author of Elder Care, The Rules, Navigating the Legal, Financial, Medical, Housing, and Care Maze. She's an attorney specializing in elder law planning. Paula, at our house, my wife's father, my father-in-law, who'll be 90 mm-hmm. this year, he lives with us now. And so we installed a chairlift and retrofitted the bathrooms and so forth. And it's been a tremendous blessing to him and to us. And mm-hmm. And his great-grandchildren come and visit him 2 days a week. And
it's the best thing ever.
It's life-giving. And, you know, and I think, you know, some families may think, I don't think I can take care of mom in our, here at our house. It's a blessing. Plus, the chairlift's in place for me in about 20 years. So I'm ready.
You got the chairlift.
Yeah.
And we don't mean the skiing chairlift.
Yeah. Do we see a lot of that kind of situation?
Yes. I think that works well for some families. Sometimes the families, though, want to say, okay, what if dad needs more care than mm-hmm. we can give? Like, is there other ways we can get caregivers in? Can we pick our own caregivers? You know, because a lot of families, they want to know who's coming into their house. I mean, your house, your spouse, your children, your great-grandchildren, your grandchildren. And so who's coming in and like how or can we get the kids paid as caregivers? You know, so and mm-hmm. should dad be paying rent? You know, like there's so many things that I would look at in that situation. And I would just brainstorm with your dad and his family. And then I would tell them all of the options. And then they could make educated decisions about like, yeah, dad should pay some rent because then that's if he ever needs a nursing home, which hopefully he doesn't, then, you know, he's paying his way and that's less money. Or maybe we just have him pay the utilities and expenses or, you know, so there's a lot of things to look at. But I think it's amazing. I think kids are great caregivers. Grandchildren are even better caregivers because they don't have all the family dynamic. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a lot of that for sure.
You know, it's such a tough thing when parents are getting older and they live, you know, live alone, whether it's the mom and dad or just the mom or just the dad. How do you know when it's not safe for mom or dad to live alone anymore?
Well, there's a lot of signs. More frequent falls, you know, confusion. Things happen, like people have fires sometimes. I mean, like things, you know, there's signs. There's usually signs. Some people are like, okay, this isn't safe for me anymore. I need more care. You know, I still want to stay home, but we need to get me more care. Or sometimes it's really just not safe and, you know, they're unable to really navigate their house anymore. But people are very creative, and sometimes they'll move to assisted living or sometimes they'll try different things in the home. So frequent falls are one, frequent hospitalizations, you know, confusion where there's a worry. Like, if something happened, could you call 911? I mean, like, you know, when people have memory or other kind of cognitive limitations, that gets a little bit scarier. Because even frail people, if they're cognitively intact, they can get the help they need. You know, they can wear those link to life kind of things, you know, where you push the button. Those are real. Or a lot of people are getting watches because older people don't like to wear the things around their neck or on their wrist. They will use the watches and you can call for help from your watch, you know. So there's a lot of different ways to approach it. But and there's those signs, you know, but it's always tricky.
Well, Paula Almgren, thank you so much for joining us today. And we would love to have you on again because there are so many questions, more questions that go along with all of this. We've even got our text line people with more questions. So we would love to chat with you. And if you are listening and would like to learn more about Paula Almgren and the new book, Elder Care, The Rules, you can do so at BerkshireLawGroup.com. Find out more information and pick up Paula's book. Paula, thank you again and happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year's Eve and thank you for having me.
Thank you. That is Paula Almgren. And yeah, we'll have to talk to her again because there are so many questions surrounding that. You see that? You always see the commercials for that A Place for Mom.
Yes.
Like I said, I'm going to have to go there before my mom and dad. Because they're kicking and doing fine. They take care of me.
Well, they're young. You've got your parents are young.
They're really young. Yeah. So, well, John Hancock, Amy Mark scores. The show continues next on KMOX.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.